One in four women have experienced domestic violence at the hands of an intimate partner. It's a shockingly high statistic that the federal government says it's working to reduce. A two-day National Women's Safety Summit has just wrapped up with financial and technology-facilitated abuse, coercive control and housing among the topics on the agenda. The discussions will inform the next national plan to reduce violence against women. Senator Anne Rustin is the Minister for Women's Safety, and she joined me earlier. And I started by asking how the summit will inform action to reduce the prevalence of domestic and family violence.
Well, the most important purpose of the summit has been to hear the voices of so many people across Australia, you know, whether they be victim survivors, whether they be advocates, people working in frontline services, or people designing programs for early intervention and prevention. Talking about the ways that we actually can change the dial, because, you know, one in four women having experienced sexual violence, these are the kind of statistics that Australia just can't keep walking past.
What measurable targets have been created to gauge progress? What do you think you can work towards in terms of measuring reducing violence against women?
One of the very important things, I think, in the next national plan is to actually define those baselines and benchmarks on which to measure. Because, of course, the first national plan started with very little information, so there was very little on which to measure the success or otherwise of that plan and the action plans that sat under it. So the next national plan actually has to have embedded in it clear outcomes that can be measured so that we can actually see what's working and what's not.
Yesterday, the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, said there is a culture that excuses and ignores inequality, and that is on all of us. So how much responsibility should the government take for this cultural problem? Is it happening from the sort of from the leadership down? Is that kind of the way culture gets created?
Well, look, I think, you know, we're in an extraordinary privileged position to be elected to this place, and I think it's incumbent on us as the lawmakers of this land to set the best possible example in terms of our behaviour. And I think that was what he was saying, is that it starts at the top, but every Australian has got a role to play in changing attitudes and making sure that respectful behaviour is just part of our everyday life, because unless we can change people's attitudes towards respect, you know, equality, not misuse of power, we're not going to actually stop violence from happening in the first place. And we'll spend all of our time focusing on responding to domestic violence and waking up every morning to the horrible statistics and the horrible stories that we do. So if we really want to do something about changing the dial, we actually have to address the attitudes of all Australians to be respectful towards each other.
You talked about benchmarks and creating those sorts of targets. Do you think reducing violence against women by 80% by 2031 is a good and ambitious target?
The reason that we've changed the name of the next national plan, the first national plan was to reduce violence against women and their children. The next national plan is to end violence against women and their children, because no level of violence is acceptable. So, you know, my target is towards zero. I actually want to see the next national plan pave a pathway so that we really realistically can see a way that we can get rid of violence altogether. Now, look, I accept that that is a very, very ambitious task, but if we don't aim for that, you know, we are excusing a level of behaviour that I just don't think we should excuse any violence ever anywhere.
Okay, that's an interesting thing you say. So, you know, I was referring to that proposal that's been put forward by a couple of groups, that 80% reduction. Are you saying you think it should be 100% reduction by 2031?
You know, putting targets on timeframes are always difficult, but I mean, we should strive for that. We should strive to end violence. Of course, I would like to see us come up with some measurable outcomes to the effect of reducing violence. But of course, the ultimate goal is to actually get every Australian to understand that no violence is acceptable. And I don't want to accept 80%. I want to make it 100%.
The Prime Minister committed to implementing all 55 recommendations from the Respect at Work report earlier this year, but last week the government voted to implement only six. Now, some have criticised this as an example of not really being committed to change. I interviewed Kate Jenkins, the Sex Discrimination Commissioner. She said she still thinks some of it is up for negotiation. But let's talk about one of them, making workplaces the kinds of employers have to sort of be proactive about stopping sexual harassment, so the onus is on them. Why not do that as a government?
Currently, we have a number of legislative instruments that impact on workplaces. The Fair Work Act, obviously, is one of them, and that's what we changed last week to make the framework around the legal provisions around sexual harassment stronger in the legal framework. The additional recommendations of Kate Jenkins, some of them were quite complex and required greater consideration and consultation. The government has never said that it rejected one of the 55 recommendations. We have said we will consider absolutely every one of them and the best way for them to be implemented. Some of them required legislation, which was some we put through last week. Some of them actually are not something that the government can actually enact. They relate to state and territory governance, or they may relate to industry. But the government has been very clear right from the start, when the report was first handed down, that we did not reject any of the 55 recommendations put forward by Kate Jenkins.
OK, there's one thing not to reject them, and then there's another thing of not actually having any urgency around implementing them. So the one I ask about, the specific proactive role of employers to stop the sexual harassment, so the onus isn't on the victim survivor after it's actually happened. Would you like to see the federal government, do you commit to implementing that recommendation?
Well, my understanding, Patricia, is that that currently within the Work Health and Safety Act, that there is an affirmative requirement of employers to do that already.
Well, Kate Jenkins says it's not strong enough. She said that very clearly to me yesterday.
Yep. I know that the Attorney General is currently consulting on this particular aspect and a number of other issues that are still yet to be resolved in relation to the delivery on those recommendations.
The Prime Minister says there should be no politics involved in this plan. So why has the government not supported recommendations such as paid domestic violence leave, giving women, largely women, the right to take that leave if they are suffering violence? And we know so many are.
At the recommendation of the Fair Work Commission, we put in place a couple of years ago a 1 week of unpaid domestic violence leave at their recommendation. Currently, the Fair Work Commission is actually looking at reviewing whether this is actually the appropriate level of support for women in domestic violence situations, and we will await with great interest to their recommendations. But in the meantime, as part of the budget, the 2021 budget and the $1.1 billion that we committed to investing in women's safety, we put in place an escaping violence package which supports all women, not just women who are working, but every woman who is escaping domestic violence will have access to the escaping violence payment, which is a $5,000 payment that is provided to her to support her when she makes that extraordinarily difficult and brave decision to actually leave a violent relationship.
You've agreed to develop a specific plan to address violence against Indigenous women after criticism from Aboriginal leaders that the current plan does not work. What has been learnt from this summit about how best to ensure safety for women in this community? And will you commit to actually investing properly in trying to address this specific kind of violence?
Look, it was fantastic to listen to the Indigenous panel yesterday morning and the really powerful messages that came from that panel. I spoke to a number of the panel members yesterday afternoon about how we could address their specific issues. But, you know, in my time as Social Services Minister, I've travelled around Australia and gone to many Indigenous communities. And, you know, visiting a place like Aurukun, where the Family Responsibilities Commission actually does a lot of the work around justice and enforcement, I was privileged enough to actually sit in on a commission hearing and watching Indigenous women make decisions around what behaviour change that they wanted to see in their community. It was one of the most powerful experiences that I've ever seen. So I am really delighted to have the opportunity to work with people like June Oscar and Marsha Langdon and Sandra Creamer and many other Indigenous women around Australia, because they really clearly have a great understanding about what is best for their women and children.
So what progress has been made on the idea of a separate and very specific plan? Will you do that?
In talking to the panel members yesterday afternoon, you know, we're very keen to progress a separate plan that allows us to actually define real and practical solutions so that we can get things out on the ground, the kind of actions that they were asking for. So I'm very keen to look to make sure that we've got an action plan that is absolutely targeted at the kinds of actions, behaviours and programs that they want to see for their people.
That's Senator Anne Rustin, the Women's Safety Minister. 0418 226 576 is our text line.